Many New Orleanians have undergone emotional trauma in recent years, but cuts to the LSU medical system mean an even greater strain on already reduced mental health services for those affected in that area. And with these challenges, some youth are able to get support through the public school system. Zoe Sullivan took a look at one pilot program in the Recovery School District.
Children at McDonough 15 are on their way to the library. The school is one of five in the Recovery School District, where Dr. Milton Anderson has been working to develop a pilot mental health support program.
We're just hoping that improving educational outcomes, that over time, at least a generation, that people will have greater resources and be able to live differently and better lives.
City residents of all ages were traumatized after Katrina. But studies have found that younger children tend to fare worse after a disaster. Additionally, research shows that returning to the school environment contributes to recovery. But many New Orleans children had to enroll in new schools in new cities, and frequently, children had to adapt to more than one new school. Studies have also shown that parental unemployment and unstable housing also contribute to increased likelihood of post-traumatic stress disorder. Deborah Morton, who runs Behavior Health Services at the Recovery School District, or RSD, says while post-traumatic stress disorder is fairly common among the students, her staff are also finding more serious issues.
We've had a few students who have been diagnosed as schizophrenic, which is extremely rare, but again, we've seen that prevalence, you know, within a couple of our schools.
In this context, Anderson offers prevention and wellness programs for children and their families, such as a training on the ins and outs of ADHD. Roughly a dozen families also participate in weekly group therapy sessions with a school social worker and a nurse practitioner. There are other pressing needs, though, Anderson says.
The number of families where I'm helping with children referred to the health and wellness teams by the teachers who have either witnessed a relative or even a parent being shot to death, the number is astounding to me.
While Anderson and his team are doing everything they can to help children and their families achieve positive trajectories, the program is only available to five schools. And he says it will take several years before the kinks are worked out and it's ready to roll out to the entire district. Laura Cornell handles student support at McDonough 15. We talk in her office, which used to be a closet.
Painted a sunny yellow because we have no windows. I have no windows in here. And around my office, I post things that I need to use in my day-to-day work.
Cornell says the posters on her wall help her to teach kids tools they can use outside of her closet office to cope with the real world.
One of the cards was the steps to calm down card. And number one is take three deep breaths with a picture of a nose. Two, count to 10 with the numbers listed out, and three, ask for something to squeeze with your hand out.
HealthyNOLA.org, a website providing health and economic information on New Orleans neighborhoods, reports that almost 40% of the city's children live below the poverty line. Compounding this, Deborah Morton says the city doesn't have enough mental health services for children and youth.
Prior to Katrina, we had a few really, really good child psychologist and child psychiatrist, and that number has decreased significantly since the storm. We've not had many to come back, and I think we are relying a great deal on a very few who are, you know, fairly well stretched out in terms of their availability.
Statistics from the RSD state that over 2,000 children have accessed more intensive mental health services so far this academic year. There are no studies that demonstrate that Katrina-related trauma is behind the city's crime epidemic, and it is most likely a combination of factors. In spite of this, families will have a harder time finding mental health services soon, since the state is cutting $15 million from LSU's interim hospital. These cuts will eliminate 10 mental health beds and 10 psychiatric aides, among other staff and facilities. For WWNO, I'm Zoe Sullivan.
Zoe Sullivan is a reporter covering issues in the greater New Orleans area. She is a regular contributor to WWNO. This is All Things New Orleans for Thursday. It's March 22nd, and I'm Jack Hopke with you. Good Thursday evening. Our first edition of spring, as a matter of fact. However, there is in New Orleans one unofficial season that for many takes precedent above all others, and that's right, it's festival season. Festival season is coming this weekend at Congo Square. The New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation presents the Congo Square New World Rhythms Festival. The foundation's Scott Ages recently spoke with WWNO's Paul Mawson about the event.
The Congo Square New World Rhythms Festival, this is the fifth season for this, correct?
Yes, it is, but it's kind of a fresh start for us. As you know, and as I'm sure your listeners know, the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation is the nonprofit that owns the Jazz Fest. And our mission in life is to use the money from Jazz Fest and other monies that we raise for year-round programs in the areas of education, economic development, and cultural enrichment. Crazily enough, there was not a festival to celebrate Congo Square. So we thought that would be a job for us. Now, I should point out, of course, that the very first Jazz Fest took place there.
So give us an idea. It's the festival itself is March 24th and 25th. There's a lot of activity around it, but kind of give us an idea of what happens on
sure.
those days.
So the festival is March 24th and 25th, Saturday and Sunday. It starts at 11 a.m. both days. It'll start with drum circles in the traditional fashion. On the Saturday will be an African drum circle, and the Sunday will be a Latin drum circle. So we're really trying to highlight, in addition to our African ancestry, we want to pay very close attention to our Latin influences as well. So there's a lot of Latin music involved with this festival as well as African music. Headlining the festival on Saturday from the Congo is a guitar player named Diblo Dibala. And I've been a fan of this guy for 20 years. He is one of the inventors of this style of music called soukous. And he plays the electric guitar in this incredibly lyrical, high-pitched, chiming way. It's almost like the electric guitar version of the kora, but it's really effervescent rhythms, and it's really made for dancing. Also, I want people to know, is a band that has never been to New Orleans before from Cuba called Interactivo. And this is a 13-piece band of young folks from Havana who play just straight-up salsa in the perfect traditional way, but with a really cool modern hip-hop influence. So it's really, really great stuff. They were a huge hit at the Havana Jazz Festival this year, and thanks to our partnership with an organization here in town called Cuba Nola, we're able to bring them to New Orleans. So very excited about that.
Cool. What about Sunday?
Sunday. Okay, that's also going to be very exciting. So on Sunday, we pivot a little bit toward Latin America, and then we get into straight-up New Orleans. And we hear the evolution of the rhythm and how it has adapted itself in the new world. So we'll start with the Stooges Brass Band performing traditional New Orleans second line music. And then we have a Conscious Hip Hop Summit featuring three really outstanding artists, D1, Truth Universal, and Nesby Phipps, who are all really, really great rappers and very clever in the things that they convey. And then finally, we'll close it out with an incredible show, a once-in-a-lifetime experience, the Rebirth Brass Band, performing on stage with one of the pioneers of this special style of rap that emerged in New Orleans known as Bounce. And that group is called Partners in Crime, and they have been together for 20 years. And there will also be a few guest artists performing with them as well, DJ Jubilee, who is also one of the pioneers of this New Orleans bounce sound. So it kind of all comes together in a big jam session to celebrate the evolution of this rhythm into the contemporary context.
So it really is in keeping with the tradition of Congo Square, the multicultural influences all coming together.
Very much. And we're really excited about it.
There's also a couple of other pretty interesting things going on. One of them is the Tom Dent Congo Square Symposium. Tell us what you're going to be talking about.
Sure.
Who's going to be involved?
I'd love to. It's a lecture series that focuses on issues of the African diaspora and sometimes how culture interacts with the modern world and such things as commerce and related subjects. This year, we are bringing back to town somebody who spoke for us several years ago and was so incredible that we wanted to bring him back. He's a professor from Yale University named Robert Ferris Thompson. And he is going to discuss this notion of art emerging as an expression of almost as a prayer, as seeking help from the gods. And these cultural traditions, as you would call them now, have somehow managed to travel across space and time that you can see very direct continuity on the streets of modern-day New Orleans to these things that we'll call cultural expressions that happened thousands of years ago an ocean away. And there are other speakers and other things that will be discussed, and all the information is online at congosquaretalks.info.
And if that weren't enough, you guys are going to be busy this weekend.
Yes.
There's also something that just looks, you know, when you say, oh, I got to see that. I think this falls in that category, which is the high school brass band contest. Tell us how that works.
Very excited about this one. This is a brand new initiative of ours. So we launched this program. It's called Class Got Brass. And it is a brass band competition for Louisiana middle schools and high schools. And there are some relatively simple guidelines. The bands can be no larger than 12 pieces. Other than that, they have, you know, relatively carte blanche. We also have a list of traditional New Orleans brass songs and also some more contemporary songs. Mm-hmm. As part of their performance, they have to play three of that list. So that's another requirement. And as extra credit, they can bring along a group of dancers or steppers like you would see in a traditional second line parade, mm-hmm. but no more than six. And so we put together an incredible group of celebrity judges. So Trombone Shorty, Troy Anders is going to be a judge. Shamar Allen, Ben Jaffe from Preservation Hall, and a number of other folks are going to be judges. So the winning school gets a gift certificate for band instruments for their school band program worth $10,000. And since we'll be using a retailer that will procure the instruments at a wholesale rate, we'll basically be able to double the money. Right. So we'll get $20,000 worth of instruments for 10 grand. Second place school gets $6,000 worth of instruments, and the third place school gets $4,000 worth of instruments. So the Jazz and Heritage Foundation is ponying up 20 grand. So it's really, I think it's a neat way to try to move the culture forward.
It's the Congo Square New World Rhythms Festival. It'll be taking place March 24th and 25th. Another thing you'll have to put on your calendar here in New Orleans to check out. Sounds like a great lineup and a thoughtful lineup putting this together to look at the intersection of different culture and musics and kind of what Congo Square is all about.
We certainly hope so. I should mention briefly that there are a number of other events going on as well surrounding the festival that some of which we're producing, some of which we're not. There's an African dance concert the evening of Saturday, March 24th at Tulane University's Dixon Hall. That's free to the public. There is also a festival of sacred music that the New Orleans Healing Center is doing in the evenings of March 24th and 25th. At Tulane, there's going to be a film screening of a documentary that shows a comparison between funeral traditions in Ghana and New Orleans at 7 p.m. So we've wrapped them all up and given everybody all the web links and the details and the dates and times at congosquarerhythms.com. So that's where all the information is.
It's the Congo Square New World Rhythms Festival. Scott, thank you so much. And sounds like a great event.
Thank you very much.
Scott Ages is the Director of Programs, Marketing, and Communication for the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation. Festival will be taking place 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. at Congo Square in Armstrong Park this coming Saturday and Sunday. And on this Thursday, March 22nd, you're tuned to All Things New Orleans. You can hear All Things New Orleans features and many of our other broadcasts on WWNO anytime at WWNO.org. They're archived right there for your enjoyment and for sharing as well. Jack Hopke along. This has been a great, not just a good year already for piano, and especially jazz piano here in New Orleans. In January, we welcomed New Yorker Midwest transplant Fred Hirsch to our studio and to NOCA for a performance. Tonight, fans have an opportunity to hear a musician of comparable caliber when Lynn Ariel, also a New Yorker of Midwest origin, performs on Frenchman Street. She came up here to WWNO yesterday to speak with me.
You're here after an absence of some years.
Yes, it's been many years since I brought my own group, and I'm so happy to be back again.
We're glad to welcome you. There have been some musical changes since then.
Absolutely.
And some new releases and things and many activities on your part. You're here for a Snug Harbor gig, and you are going to be playing with an ensemble. It's not going to be solo, even though your new album is a solo record. How did you choose the musicians who are going to be working with you?
Well, I've played with James Singleton many times in the past, and he's awesome, and he recommended Paul Thibodeau. And I'm a big fan of Wes Anderson, so I'm looking
Warm
forward
Daddy.
To playing. Oh,
there
absolutely. He's so cool.
You are classically trained. How do you find those classical abilities and sensibilities inform your jazz work?
I think the singing of melodic lines is something that's carried over from classical music to jazz. My teacher, Rebecca Pennies, always had me sing the melodies of the pieces that I was working on so that they had a more organic flow. And when we sing, the voice is so close to the heart, literally. And I think it really facilitates playing from a different space. And so I do that when I'm playing as well as when I'm composing and when I'm practicing.
Melody is very important to you, isn't it?
Yes, that's what people remember. They remember melodies.
Let's do just a little history. For about 9 or 10 albums, starting back in the 1990s, after you won the Great American Piano Competition, you worked with a trio, pretty much the same guys, for a good long while. And then in 2009 came a recording called Nuance, on which you worked with three different people. You went to quartet. Tell me about that change a little bit. Why and how?
Well, I had loved playing with Jay Anderson and Steve Davis, who are both consummate musicians, and we played for so many years and traveled together for so long. It just felt like it was time for a change, and I really treasure all the times that we had together and the fun we had on the road and, you know, music making. But it felt like, you know, I just really wanted to go in a slightly different direction.
That's just a snippet. You can hear my full interview with Lynn Arriel next weekend on Saturday Night Jazz. Lynn performs this evening at Snug Harbor on Frenchman Street. There'll be two sets, one at 8 and one at 10 p.m. It's Lynn Arriel. Right here on All Things New Orleans. Now to a different kind of music. Listeners familiar with the Louisiana Philharmonic Orchestra have probably heard of its conductor, Carlos Miguel Prieto, although his charming disposition is immediately recognizable to audiences both old and new. Many do not know about his personal journey to the center of the stage. On this week's Notes from New Orleans, we'll listen to Prieto discuss his journey and the friends he's bringing with him.
So often, life leads us on paths we never anticipated. I never thought I would end up living the large part of my life in New Orleans, for example. I'm not alone, I know that. So many of us can look back in wonder as we trace the unexpected journeys of our lives.
I am an example of someone who was taught music at a very early age and who, for his whole early life, had no idea I was going to become a musician.
That's Carlos Miguel Prieto, music director of the Louisiana Philharmonic Orchestra, who started out thinking he would go into business. Actually, he did for a while. It didn't last.
But through the knowledge and study of music, I've been able to travel the whole world, literally the whole world, and be open to so many cultures. And with that comes the love of languages, the love of literature, the love of theater, the love of poetry, all through music.
But now that destiny has ensured his life's work, has it also driven him down a particular musical pathway?
You know, I think part of the trick is not to have a set philosophy, but to kind of react and propose. Any music director that's, let's say, starting soon learns that being a music director is more than just conducting the concerts, planning the weeks, and doing the rehearsals and doing concerts as well as one can.
To Carlos Miguel Prieto, that means stitching together musical quilts ranging from Bach to Bernstein, Schumann to Shostakovich, programs that have caused audiences to stand and literally cheer at their conclusion. Of course, every now and then he likes to add a little jolt to his programming.
What if I told you that the best mariachi in the world is coming to New Orleans?
He's not kidding either. For the first time, Mariachi Vargas, a group organized in 1891, is coming to New Orleans.
Most people think about Mexican music and they think mariachis. And actually, mariachis are a very important part of Mexican music, but it's one part. And it's one part that has a fascinating origin. So if one were to say what is the real origin of mariachi, one would have to talk about music from Spain, music from France, music from Vienna, and music from Germany. Mariachis are a group of, let's say, a dozen musicians, sometimes more, and they always have violins, trumpets, although trumpets were not in the original mariachi, but trumpets, and different kind of guitars, and sometimes harp, the folkloric harp, the harp from Veracruz, and most important, human voice. So they all play and sing at the same time.
In their own way, mariachis reflect the musical spirit of this city. Groups are hired for happy occasions and sad ones, and they are proficient at many different levels.
There are the mariachis that you can go hire in the streets, which may be very good or not so good. And then there are the famous, famous mariachis. And then on top of that, there are the mariachis that the very famous mariachis look up to. And that one mariachi that everyone looks up to is the one who's coming to New Orleans.
And, says Carlos Miguel, they will come prepared.
They're very, very strong musicians. And they're very fun, too. I mean, they come, and I've always seen them in this kind of exhilaration. They're always smiling, always celebrating. And the concerts for them, especially concerts with orchestra, which for them is a honor, they always dress their best. They always bring their biggest sombreros, and they always incorporate more tequila to their pre-concert preparation. Yes, that is a part of it, than you would imagine. So we actually have to bring a van to pick them up and then bring a separate van for the sombreros and the tequila.
So for a taste, well, not literally, of this exhilarating music, join Carlos Miguel Prieto and the Louisiana Philharmonic Orchestra for this one-night-only event, Saturday, March 24th, at the Montreal Convention Center Theater. For more information, go to wwno.org or nolavie.com. For WWNO, I'm Sharon Litwin.
Tickets are available for Fiesta Sinfonica online at lpomusic.org. Hope you've enjoyed this week's edition of All Things New Orleans. I'm Jack Hopke with you. All of our features are archived for listening and sharing at our website, wwno.org. When I say thanks for joining us, I refer to the whole staff here, executive producer Paul Mawson, producer-editor Thomas Walsh, and myself. We're going to be back with you next week. Hope you'll be back as well. Thanks.